Over the centuries, there has been so much ink spilled, so many arguments, so many fights about the meaning, the significance, the explanation for what happens on that moment when the priest prays for the invocation of the Holy Spirit to come down upon the elements of the bread and the wine, from transubstantiation to consubstantiation to transignification to all kinds of other attempts to explain what is ultimately always unexplainable. There's something about what happens in this moment that is simply meant, I believe, to captivate us, to offer us, you know, an experience of the power of God. For me, I think it simply comes down to what we pray in the second Eucharistic prayer, that let this bread and wine become for us the body and blood of Jesus, that it becomes for us this gift. My sense of the Eucharist is pretty simple. God can do this. Of course, God can change ordinary elements into his very presence. And of course, he wants us to experience this. He wants us to be able to have that power, that absolute possibility of experiencing the very presence of God within us, that we can be changed, we can be transformed because we take what is so ordinary, the bread and the wine, to be something that becomes the most amazing and precious gift. And the Eucharist is primarily meant to be this meal, this gathering around the table where we are fed first by the Word, and then by the Eucharist, that both of these elements, you know, call us into life. Both of these experiences call us into who we have been called to be, who we've been created to be, the very essence of what, as a church and a community, we're meant to be. You know, in the Gospel tonight, that when there was this moment, well, the line before, Luke 9 verse 10, we're told that Jesus escaped to this small village of Bethsaida, thinking that he would be able to get away to be with his disciples. It's the final stage of the ministry there in Galilee. At the end of this chapter, Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem, and we get that the pilgrimage section, the journey to Jerusalem over the next 10 and a half chapters. But as he gathers the people, he first welcomes them, because that's such a crucial experience, to be welcomed to the community. But then he sees their needs, so he talks to them about the kingdom, and he cures anyone who was in need of healing. It comes to the essence of what the Eucharist is about, that it has to be a place of welcome, a place of the announcement of the kingdom, and a place where anyone who is in need is able to receive that healing. But when it came to that feeding time, first, this community or this crowd of people, 5,000 men, have to be broken into little groups, 100 different groups of 50 each, to feed them, to be able to minister to them, to be able to share this life. Just as, you know, in the church, we continue to be in those smaller places, places where we can get to know each other, places where we can experience that life where we can break bread together, where we can be fed and nourished. That it's in those small communities that we discover that power to transform us. And part of the gift of the Eucharist is also the fast that we undertake, that we don't come eating and drinking, that we don't come to the Eucharist, you know, straight after sharing in a meal. You know, it's not quite as bad in a neo-catechumenal community because you could be eating right through to the door and you have no problem of keeping the fast until that point, after that point. But for us, you know, there is this anticipation that there is the fasting in order to recognize our hunger, in order for us to have that longing, that there is nothing else that can feed us and nourish us to the extent that Jesus does, that he makes himself available, and it's in our hunger, it's in our longing, it's in our inability to satisfy ourselves according to just human experience, that experience of saying no to things that are good in order to recognize the better, in order to make ourselves open to all that God has prepared for us. And, you know, and that's why there is, you know, such a gift in taking times in our, you know, over the course of our week to spend time in fasting, to take that time where there is this hunger that we have, this longing that is there so that we can be fed and nourished by God's word. So let's really continue to have such joy and such gratitude that the Lord does make himself available to us in the humility of bread and wine changed to be for us that very encounter with the divine, that we get to meet him, we get to be fed by him, we get to be changed by him because he continues to be present for us. So let's indeed pray that we can be changed, that we can become the people that are transformed by this encounter and by the presence of God being made available to us today.